Hello and welcome to St Andrew's and All Saints Online. My name is Reverend Peter Myers and I'm the curate here at St Andrew's and All Saints. And it's a very warm welcome as we gather to worship and glorify God. But I particularly want to give a shout out to those that have gathered at St Andrew's, if you're listening to this on Sunday morning. Very exciting, the doors have opened, and for those that have gathered in person, it's wonderful to be able to worship together. And I hope it's a mighty blessing, and during our worship, you will encounter the Lord Jesus in your time together and in our worship. Now, you will need a Bible in a moment, so why don't you grab that? We are beginning a new teaching series, which Dave will be teaching into beginning later in our service. But our series is going to be entitled, We Are the Church, Learning to be Kingdom People. As I say, Dave will teach into that in a moment. But we are going to read Psalm 113 together. So if you've got your Bibles, let's just have a moment of quiet to draw our hearts and focus our minds on the Lord. And then we'll read that psalm together. Lord, may the week that we've had past, the joys, the challenges, the laughter and the sorrows, may we put that aside and lift our eyes to you. And so let us read Psalm 113. I'm going to be doing it in the NIV. We'll all have slightly different versions, but that's okay. It'll be a holy expression and reading of this psalm. Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He sits them with princes, with the princes of their people. He settles the barren women in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. Let us worship now in song. Can I encourage you to stand and sing Oceans? Thank you. Let us stay in an attitude of prayer and praise. And I want to encourage you, if you'd like to just open up your hands as an expression of giving yourself to God. Our lives are like the oceans, rich with hope and creation, adventure, beauty, serenity. But the oceans can equally be fearsome and overwhelming. We can get tossed and tumbled through the circumstances of our lives. Like the oceans, our lives can provide so much joy, but equally can be overwhelming. I wonder what your ocean looks like at the moment. What has your ocean of life this last week been like for you? Has it been filled with joy and excitement? Or has it been one of fear and uncertainty, apprehension or challenge? Well, whatever it's been, God is with you. God is there to lead you He is the anchor and your fortress, your strength, and he will lead you through whatever you're facing. So, Lord, thank you as we offer ourselves to you in this act of worship this morning. Help us to know you and encounter you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I wonder what your week has been like, but there's been one group of people who have been, it's been a significant week, and that's our young people as they've all gone back to school. And I just want to say we've been praying for you children, for those that have been starting primary school, those that have started secondary school, some of those will have, some of you have started GCSEs or A-level courses, and some of you have just started school after all this lockdown. And the other group in there are all you parents who have also suddenly shifted in life, where your children have hopefully left the home to go to school, and therefore your worlds have really changed. So there's a lot of uncertainty. And so I just want to pray for you. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for our families. Thank you for the children, for the teachers, for our schools. May this term be one of great flourishing, great learning and great laughter. We pray for all of you that actually this will be a really restorative time as you return to school. Amen. Now, the other thing that's been going on is God has been at work. And here is a testimony of a friend from of Hannah and Eddie who have been doing the Alpha course. And here is a testimony from her. This is Gemma.
I've been asked to answer three questions about Alpha. They are, what has Alpha meant for me? What has changed since doing Alpha? And what will be different from now on since we finished Alpha? My answer kind of incorporates all three of them. So I'm just going to ramble. As everybody knows who's been on the Alpha course, rambling is what I do best. So Alpha, I was really, really nervous about doing Alpha. I was nervous about saying what I thought in front of people I didn't know, worried about being judged. But I can honestly say Alpha has been one of the best things I've ever done. I've met some incredible Mets. It's all been through Alpha, but I've met some incredible, incredible people who have all got such amazing stories, and who I feel I can actually call my friends. They don't judge you. We've been able to have really open, honest conversations about faith, and experiences we've had in life. I love our Thursday evening Alpha sessions, and today is our first Thursday without it, and I feel lost. So we are starting like a life group on a Thursday, which will be good because it means that we'll be able to continue talking about things. What has changed? I listen to worship music at least twice a week. Mostly every day, to be fair. I pray every day, and I would say I have a faith. I 100% have a faith. I believe in God. I would say I'm a Christian. I read the Bible. I pray numerous times a day. And I say to the people on my course, a few Thursdays ago, and honestly, it must have been about 8 Thursdays ago now, something changed, and I don't know what it was, and I can't even remember what week we were on Alpha, but something changed. I suffer with anxiety really badly, and after one Thursday, something just clicked, and that knot of tension and anxiety that was constantly in the pit of my stomach has just gone away, like completely just disappeared. And I do put that down to Alpha and my faith, and having trust that God has got a plan for me, and everything is happening for that reason, and God wouldn't put me through something that I couldn't handle. And I know that he's always there for me to talk to and help me and guide me through those difficult situations. My life will be massively different from now on. As I briefly said, Thursday we're going to be doing a life group with a group of people who are incredible, and we can keep talking about all things Christianity. I'll be continuing to pray, I'll be continuing to read the Bible and asking questions, listening to worship music, which I have to say I absolutely love. I love finding new worship music. I've got three songs that even the opening notes just give me goosebumps. Sometimes I sing to them, sometimes I pray during them, and I will continue to do that. I will be finding a church to go to. I will be going to church in Malvern too, even though it's like 45 minutes away from me. I will be going because Dave and Colin and Marion have just been amazing. I thank God that my friend, my best friend, Hannah Rickard, and the wonderful Colin didn't force me, but they kind of did, into doing this. And I love them for it. It's been the best thing ever, and I would recommend the Alpha Course to everybody and anyone. And in fact, I was brave enough the other day to talk to somebody who doesn't have a faith, and recommend the Alpha Course to them. So yeah, go to Alpha, kids.
So isn't that amazing? And thank you, Gemma, for being so vulnerable and sharing your story. And if you are keen to join a group that is exploring the basics of Christianity, and you would like to join that, if that's something that is still, you get in contact with us. We'd love to connect you up with that group that is continuing to meet after Alpha. And let me just pray for them. Lord, Heavenly Father, as that mini church continues to gather in the coming week, may that be a rich time of encounter with you as that group continues to learn about you and to learn from one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. Well, the children are leave us at this point. The video, which is on the website, is being done by Mary, and she's reading and talking about the parable of the pearl. So that is accessible to all of the children. And we are going to carry on worshipping. So can I encourage you to stand wherever you are, at St Andrew's or at home, and let us sing.
Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant through the trial and the change. One thing remains, one thing remains. Your love never fails, never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love. On and on and on and on it goes, for it overwhelms and satisfies my soul. Thank you.
Well, hello everybody. It's lovely to be with you again, and wherever you're watching this from, and whenever. There's two questions which I've been asking more than any other over these last few months. First question I guess many of us have been asking is, when is this all going to end? But the second question I think is a more important question. It's this: how is God wanting to shape us and transform us as individuals and as a church through this crisis? You see, I think this is an amazing opportunity, more than perhaps at any other time in my lifetime, particularly as a church leader, for us to be open to God's transforming and shaping. For it's often in times of disruption where we can grow and be transformed the most. I know this has been happening in many of you. You've been changed by the last few months. You've seen a different way of living, maybe found new values. You've got into different patterns and habits. And as individuals, I want to encourage you to keep stepping out into all God is doing in you. For it's so easy, as life goes more and more back to normal, to simply revert back to the old patterns and old values, and for nothing to change. And this is why I don't want us simply to jump back into old ways and patterns of worship and doing services. But I want us to live in the discomfort a little bit longer to see the new that I believe God is calling us into. And that's why today we're starting a new series entitled We Are the Church, Learning to Be God's Kingdom People. And we're going to be, over the next few weeks, reflecting on some of the things that God's been highlighting and bringing to our attention over this time. And we're going to be opening ourselves up afresh to see who God has called us to be as his kingdom people, his church, in this place. And today we're going to start by reading this lovely chapter, verses in Acts 2, which goes right back to the time when the church first began after Pentecost, when the church was trying to work out, how on earth are we to be? What are we to be? Because I think this passage has a lot to speak into our current situation. So let's hear these verses and then we'll reflect some more on them.
The reading today is taken from Acts chapter 2, starting at verses 42 to 47, the fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
They devoted themselves. That's how the church began, we're told. They devoted themselves to God and growing as his people. It's a strong word, devotion, isn't it? I wonder what you'd say you were devoted to. Those of you who know my son, Josh, will know that he is devoted to rockets and all things space, and certainly keeping up with all the latest news and developments. When we were on holiday, we would be on a walk and I would look back and there would be Josh on his phone watching live the latest rocket launch happening from Cape Canaveral or wherever it was. Or actually another occasion, I found him at 2 o'clock in the morning hanging out the bathroom window taking amazing photographs of the comet that we had visible over the summer. That's devotion. And that devotion has been encouraged by the equally passionate devotion of a certain Simon Noble, who I know has inspired Josh's devotion to rockets and space. You know, when we're devoted to something, it becomes the priority above all else. Not an add-on to our lives, but something that we orientate our whole life around. Are we devoted to God, to each other, to being the people he's called us to be? Or is Christianity, is church, just another thing that we do alongside everything else? I was reading Psalm 86, verse 11 last week and sharing it with the staff team. And in it, it says, "Teach me your ways, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." You see, lockdown took away many of the distractions that lead us to having a divided heart. And as things were stripped away over lockdown, some of us saw a little bit more of what it means to bring God into the centre of our lives. And I sense that this is what he wants of us in this season, to rediscover our devotion to him, to rediscover what it means to have an undivided heart, to seek him above all else. And what did that devotion look like for those first believers? Well, we see in this passage they were devoted to daily rhythms of encountering God. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. The apostles who'd been with Jesus would have told them of the ways of Jesus. They would have told them of the teachings of Jesus. We have that in a Bible, but those first believers wouldn't have had a Bible. They'd have had to rely on the teaching of the apostles to learn the ways of Jesus. They were devoted to the breaking of bread, of communion, in the temple and in their homes in the form of an agape meal. They were devoted to prayer, or the prayers, in other words, corporate and individual prayer, committing to praying daily in those patterns. They were committed and devoted to meeting together and growing together. You see, this wasn't just a one-day-a-week faith. It wasn't just a Sunday plus life group faith. But they established daily rhythms of encountering God, which grew them as Christians, and ultimately, in a few chapters later, sustained them when persecution happened and they found themselves scattered and not able to meet together. You know, God has been leading many of us, I think, into more robust daily rhythms of reading scripture, of prayer. And I think many people have found that really powerful and really energizing and soul-filling over these last months. It's made a real difference. And we're going to hear of one couple who that's been so for. Mike and Peggy Greenaway are going to share something of what they found in a new rhythm of prayer at this time.
Hello, everyone. Dave has asked us to say a few words on the noonday prayer.
We've always prayed together ourselves regularly every day. It's an important discipline that we think is really worthwhile. And we pray in the morning, first thing when we wake up, and then later at night when we're about to lie down to go to sleep. But this prayer that came from the church way back at the beginning of lockdown in March, we thought, this is a good idea. Why shouldn't we be praying at noon as well as the other times in the day? And we've been praying this every day virtually since then. And we found it really helpful, and it's a really good prayer that covers every aspect of concerns that people have with the current situation in the country. We've recently brought out the revised version of it, and we tended to mix up a bit and have some use both of the sheets and pick out the bits that we particularly like and particularly and apply to us and our lives together. So we'd like to encourage those who are not involved in this to have a look at it, because it is a really good discipline to get involved in and be able to pray regularly every day at a set time. It's especially applicable to retired people like ourselves who've got the time to do it. But if you have, and if you can make time to do this, it is a good discipline and a good prayer resource.
Yes, we look forward to seeing you all sometime soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much, Mike and Peggy. It's so encouraging to hear of how people have been reconnecting with daily rhythms of prayer and reading the Bible at this time and finding them so helpful. And just want to remind you that actually on our mailing this week and on our website, we've got a whole load of resources, different resources, if you want to try something new or get into new rhythms, including Lectio 365, other apps. We've got the St. Chad's little booklet. I've got a few more of these at home if anyone would like one. The Continue Using the Noonday Prayer. And we've also produced some daily lectionary readings this week for you as well. Have a look at the resources on the website. And at the start of a new term, as people return from holidays, get back into their normal patterns again, let's commit to going deeper in practicing these holy habits, in encountering God daily in these rhythms of prayer and scripture on our own and with others. For, you know, this is the spiritual food, this is the spiritual fuel that we need to enable us to be the people of God and to grow in our faith. I want to just pause there and I want to just put a couple of questions up. And if you're on your own at home, then just think about these. If you're sitting there watching with others, then maybe just chat and reflect on them briefly while you pause the video. And the questions are these. Firstly, is God in this time calling you back to an undivided heart for him? And what might that look like for you? And secondly, how have your daily holy habits been over lockdown? And how might God want you to take that forward and deepen them further in this season? Stop and have a reflect on those questions. And then we see in this passage too that they were devoted to the fellowship, it says in verse 42, or as it's better referred to, the common life. You see, the early church didn't just come to church once a week, but they learned to do life together. They learned to sacrificially share what they had corporately to meet the needs of others. In the past, you know, I think sometimes a church has just reduced fellowship to coffee after the service. And I just wonder whether at this time God has taken away coffee after the service from us. Because he wants to show us that fellowship is so much more than that. It's been really interesting to see how our online coffee and chat has deepened our fellowship over recent months. Last Sunday, there were a good few of us on the St. Andrew's coffee and chat. And we had a lovely time of just sharing and being really vulnerable with each other and then praying for each other. It was a beautiful time and lovely to welcome a couple of visitors too. And we've had some really encouraging stories from our life groups too, especially those who are breaking into smaller mini life groups of three or four at times, of how fellowship has been deepened over these recent weeks, how we've perhaps become more devoted, more committed to each other, not just seeing each other once a week or twice a week. Last week we heard in the service from Peter how the Blessings Fund has been used to deepen fellowship and share with those in need, as we just like we just read in the early church. And you know, the Blessings Fund was birthed 15 months ago when I was preaching on this very passage one Sunday morning at St. Andrew's. And as we look back, it's as if God was preparing us for such a time as this. We had little idea how that Blessing Fund would be used in these times. And like the early church, who we're told met regularly in their homes, we've been forced into seeing even more how our homes can be places of worship, rather than just relying on coming into the church building. You know, we've learned to worship and grow in our faith amongst our families, in our life groups, with friends. We've learned how to feed ourselves and others, not just rely on the professional ministers to spoon-feed us. Parents have had to take greater ownership of discipling their children alongside homeschooling. But God's been doing something significant, I think. He's been deepening our fellowship, our common life, in really significant ways. And again, we mustn't just revert back to where we've been. But I sense he's wanting to take us deeper still in our common life and being community together. Last week we had an update video of the Fletcher family, one of our mission partners in Thailand, and this week I want to show another clip of a video. They've put this video together, which I've put on the mailing, about their praxis as an organisation, about how the principles that they live out with. And I want to just first show you a very short clip of that, first couple of minutes, because it really speaks into how they do their common life there together in the slums of Bangkok. Let's watch this.
As urban neighbours of hope, we live by a rule. We call it our praxis. Our praxis are the things we do because we think they are important. These things we covenant to, and they give UNO its particular shape. This video is an introduction to how we express our praxis in our lives with the Thailand team.
Simply put, Covenant Community is just a group of people doing things together with a common way of life.
We share our work, we share our life rhythms in ways that help to provide longevity for us to stay in one place for a long time. A lot of us have relocated far from our homes, and so we're beginning again.
So we promise to commit to caring.
I think especially in a cross-cultural setting, it's a form of church. We share all aspects of our lives, so we're vulnerable together. We see the difficult things about each other as well as the good things, and we choose to love each other and support each other through that.
With a covenanted community, we are committed to a certain level of vulnerability and openness that is really challenging.
In practice, I think what it looks like is usually some people are doing well and some people are not doing so well, and we take it in turns to kind of carry each other and pick up the slack.
Knowing that I've made a commitment to others and to God, to this place and to people here, means that I'll stick it out, even in the hard times.
I'd really encourage you to watch the whole of that video, which is on the weekly mailing and on the websites, because I found it really challenging hearing them talk about their covenanted commitment to each other, their commitment to vulnerability and openness and accountability, seeing them do church like that in their homes. You know, I think there's an extra depth there which I long to experience here. And I wonder whether God wants to teach us through their example something of what it looks like to deepen our common life and our commitment to each other here in Malvern. You know, in this time when we can do less corporately, less programs, I'm sensing God leading us into a greater reliance on life groups and families and learning to do community even more deeply, so that those places can be places where we learn even more to worship together, to pray together, to serve each other, to commit to each other as a priority in this season and beyond. And not just to rely perhaps on the leaders and preachers in our churches, but to take ownership of our own faith journeys. You know, if you're not in a life group at the moment, I really do encourage you to connect up with one this term, because this is a really important time, even if it's temporarily. And do contact us if you'd like to do that. And as we heard on Gemma's testimony earlier in the service, there's a new life group which has just happened for those people who perhaps want to go over the basics, for those people who might just have done Alpha, that's just started getting going, and gets in touch with me or Colin and Marion to connect up with that. So a couple more questions to stop and pause and reflect on. What would it be like for our life groups or our family to become more like the Acts 2 church? What would that look like? And what can we learn from the Fletchers' missional communities that we can put into practice here where we are in the UK? Have a little think and reflect and discuss on those things. And finally, they were devoted to being a growing community. Verse 47. You know, it's easy to read these verses in Acts 2 and think that these early believers must have just all lived in some sort of super spiritual holy huddle away from the world. And then from that conclude that it was so much easier for them to do it than us. Us who have busy lives, demanding families, challenging work situations. But I think before we jump to that conclusion, I don't think that was the case at all. I think they had many of the same challenges and struggles that we have. For it ends in verse 47, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You see, they weren't just a bizarre sect who were hiding away waiting for Jesus' return. They were a devoted bunch of normal people, living radically in the middle of their communities, interacting with their neighbours, their work colleagues. And as they did so, the Lord added to their numbers daily, as those neighbours, those work colleagues, those friends became drawn into their community and became Christians. And why did that happen? Well, I think firstly because God was at work. That's why it says the Lord added to them. It was first and foremost, as it always is, God's work. God was transforming lives, not just about hard work or clever missional practices of people. And that's what we see from the wonders and signs in verse 43 that occurred amongst them. As they devoted themselves to God, as they sought the presence of God, they saw God move in supernatural ways among them and in their communities. And they saw God draw others in and saw lives transformed. But secondly, also I think it happened because those believers were devoted and seeking God. And as they did so, it drew them to living the ways of Jesus and showing compassion in their communities. And their radical example of the way they lived drew others to join them and to come to know Jesus. If you read the ancient history books, you read the early Christians were known for rescuing unwanted babies from rubbish heaps and bringing them up as if they were their own. They were known for looking after the widows and the oppressed of society. And as they did that, people around them asked, why do they do this? And as many came to explore what the difference in their lives was, they found God and they had their lives transformed. That's what we've been seeing several times over recent weeks here in Malvern too. We heard it in Gemma's testimony earlier. We've seen God graciously using normal people, you and me, people who are seeking God as best they can, people who are trying to be devoted as best they can in their normal busy lives. And we've seen God use us to reach our neighbours and to draw them towards him and find life in all its fullness. And so be encouraged, be committed alongside all of us, not to simply go back to the old normal, but to be open to what God's Spirit is doing amongst us in this moment, in this crisis, in this place. And let us be people who step out into all of that. May we echo those words I quoted earlier in Psalm 86. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. May we be devoted to God and growing as his people. May we be devoted to patterns of daily rhythms of encountering God. May we be devoted to each other and to discovering the common life. And may we be devoted to God growing us, our church and our community. I want to encourage us to just pause and be still. And we're going to lead into the next song in a reflective way, allowing God's Spirit to speak to us and minister to us. And I want to really encourage, actually, this. I think this is a significant day as we open up St Andrew's for the first time for 6 months today. This is a time, I think, where we have the chance to rededicate our lives as individuals and as a church back to God. To say sorry where we've not been devoted, where we've had a divided heart. and to come humbly in submission to him again, to say from now on we want to do things your way, and we're holding everything lightly as we move into this new season, and we're saying, God, lead us into your truth. And so I want to encourage you, if you feel comfortable about it, and challenge you if you don't, that wherever you are, whether you're at home or whether you're watching this in church right now, is to stop and to kneel as a sign of submission to God as we lead into this next song, as a sign of us as a body saying, we are seeking to follow your way, not ours, God, and just to rededicate ourselves to him this morning. So I invite you to do that right now. And so, Lord, we come as your humble servants in this place to say we want to rededicate our lives to you as individuals and as a church at this time. We surrender to your ways. We come and say, give us an undivided heart. Lead us in devotion to you and to each other and to our communities. Come and lead us into your new ways, we pray. Amen.
So our worship is drawing to a close now. But just before we finish, a couple of notices. Don't forget the newsletter with lots of information. And in summary, as we come into September and experimenting through September about how we gather as a church, the All Saints service will continue at 10 o'clock in person at St Andrew's. There will be the 10:30 gathering to watch the online service, interactive, but also with children's groups. There's also the midweek communion service at 12 o'clock on Thursdays each week. That begins this coming week. And we are looking to begin our early bird service on 20th of September. So that'll be a 9:15 start. Further details of that will come out in the coming weeks. But that'll be the 20th of September, focused on smaller families, which is a very exciting opportunity for us as well. But as we come to an end, let us just draw our heart together, refocus on the Lord. And Lord, help us to be devoted people, people of devotion, as we are the church. Help us to be kingdom people and people of devotion. And so the blessing of the Lord God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us now and always. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. See you next week. Much love to you all, and have a great week.